from the book of Genesis, chapter 9. Genesis, chapter 9, we'll read verses 20 through 24 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Genesis, chapter 9. And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine, and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, and laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward, and covered the nakedness of their father, and flew backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And let's finish together in verse 24. Ready? And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done here. Lord, it's just exciting to pull on the property because we know that you'll be here. I believe with all my heart you're pleased with what happens here. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. Lord, sometimes we'll take it too much for granted what we have here. May we never do that. May we realize that we live in America, we have our freedoms, but most of all we have a man of God with the Word of God to give us the truth. Please, may we listen with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm always amazed. The singing group forgets the words for one song and they just change to another one immediately. I couldn't find one they liked, so they went ahead and closed her down. But boy, that was good. Thank you so much. I think I've seen some people walk in here, some ladies come in the back here. Ladies, why don't you tell us where you're from, where you're heading, or what's going on? I want to find out who you are. Stand up there. Don't be shy. You're under the gun now anyhow. Who's going to be the spokesman for me, or do you want to introduce yourselves? Yes, ma'am. I thought I'd recognize at least one of you. We're glad you stopped in to see us tonight. Thank you for being here, and we're glad that you're here. Also, let me give you a quick couple prayer requests, if I could. Pray for Mrs. Linton. She's not well, and she's in the hospital. And then pray for Brother Crabb. He will be heading to Michigan. His son's had an automobile accident, and I want you to be praying for him as well, if you will, please. Now, I want you to look right at me. Again, I'll try not to be long. I do want to help you, though. I told you this morning I would speak to you about this subject tonight. An altar, an ark, or a vineyard. An altar, an ark, or a vineyard. This is about Noah. Noah lived in a day of great wickedness. But the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He became a great servant of God. But I think if you took the time, you could look at the life of Noah, and you would find there are three statements that somewhat summarize the life of Noah. There are three verses that kind of give you an idea of three things that he did with his life that tell you about Noah. For instance, Noah built an ark. Most of us know that. Genesis 6:14, it says, "Make an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." Now, this is a command of God. God said, "Noah, I want you to build an ark." And there is the first segment of the ministry, if you will, of Noah. God said, "I want you to build an ark," and Noah built that ark. But then, God says in Genesis 8:20, he said, "And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar." So the first thing we see Noah building is Noah built an ark, because God told him to build an ark. Then we see Noah builds an altar. Why? Because God told him to build an altar. The altar was built as unto the Lord, and the ark was built as unto the Lord. Then, finally, we see a third phase, if you will, in the construction company called Noah's Construction Company. The Bible says that Noah built a vineyard. He built a vineyard. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20, it says, "And Noah began to be an husbandman and planted a vineyard." Now, here's the thing, and we'll get to this as the night progresses. Nowhere do I see that God commanded him to build the vineyard. Now, God had told him to build the ark, and God had told him to build the altar, but God is not brought into the building of this vineyard. There's where we get the title of our sermon. An ark, an altar, or a vineyard. An ark, an altar, or a vineyard. Those three statements describe maybe three eras of Noah's life. We know that Noah is the one that built the ark, and it's been a children's story, but it's not only for children, it's for those of us that are grown adults. God was going to flood the earth, and God went to Noah and said, I want you to build an ark. I want you to gather animals. I'm going to put animals on that ark. And the rain's going to come. And as the rain comes, I'll personally close the door of the ark. And I'll spare you and your family. And I'm going to spare those animals. And I want you to preach about it. And I want you to tell people what's going to happen. I think people probably mocked Noah when he was building the ark. I think the Bible says at that time on the face of the earth, it was very wicked. People were uninterested. They were uninterested in righteousness. They were uninterested in living right. They were doing their own thing. They were doing that which was right in their own eyes. They believed in eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you'll die. Just eat what you want, drink what you want, live the way you want. It doesn't matter. You're just going to die. You're just going to go to the grave. While Noah was busy following the command of God, God said, Noah, now you build an ark. You work on that ark, and you work on that ark, and Noah, it's going to flood. And indeed, it did. And we know the story. And then Noah built an altar. When that ark finally rested, God said after the water had gone away and the ark rested back on the earth, they came out of the ark, and then God said to Noah, said, now build an altar. Now what was the purpose of that altar? It was where they could go and worship God. It was where they could go and thank God. It was a place where they would go and meet with God after the flood and thank God for saving them and thank God for all that he had done for them. And we see the ark and we see the altar. But then, may I say, wasn't long after that, Noah built a vineyard. We read it earlier. The Bible says in there in Genesis chapter 9, and I'm going to read it again to you because I want you to see something. You don't have to turn to it, but please listen as I read. In Genesis chapter 9, it says, and Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backwards and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. Now, God had told him to build the ark. God had told him to build the altar, but I can't figure a place in the Bible where God told him to build this vineyard, and can you see what a mess it caused him? He built something that God had not instructed that he build, and the next thing you know, it says he became a husbandman, meaning he began to be a farmer or to take care of the vine. He was a vine dresser. He was taking care of this vineyard of grace, and the very next words it says, and he got drunk. He built something God had not instructed, and the next thing you know, he's drunk. But wait, it gets worse than that. He's in his tent, he's drunk, and one of his kids now get involved. I can't tell you all the ways that his child got involved, but the Bible says that one of his kids said, my dad's laying in there naked, I've been in there with him. That's what actually happened. I've been in the tent with him. He's laying there naked. He comes out of the tent and he says to his brothers, let me tell you, I was just in the tent with dad naked. Dad's drunk out of his gourd. And the Bible says when Noah woke up, he knew that his son had done something unto him. Now, so what? Well, I don't know. I don't think I could prove everything. Some people believe there was an incestuous relationship that went on. You say, what do you mean? Homosexuality between a father and a son. Why? Because dad got drunk. Why? Because he built something that God had not told him to build. Now, he built that altar. He was fine. He built that ark. He was fine. But when he built that vineyard messed him up, and that vineyard caused him nothing but trouble. And may I say, for any parent to ever touch their children in a sexual way is as wicked as the devil, and that's wrong. And that is wrong, and it's wicked, and you need to get your wicked heart right with God. No child should ever be touched. And that means stepdads and stepmoms, keep your hands off your kids. Keep your hands off your kids. And stepbrothers and sisters, you keep your hands off of each other. That thing right there just makes me mad as a hornet. You keep your hands off your children. I don't think we have any problem like that in our church, but God help us that we never do. You talk about a preacher that'll cloud up and rain. That's as wicked as the devil, and it's wrong. And children are pure, and they're to be left that way. Well, Noah built this ark. For 120 years, he obeyed God in the building of the ark. And he built the ark for God. The ark caused him to communicate with God. When Noah was building the ark, he and God, they talked. They had to. Why? Noah was getting instructions about building. He had to talk to God. He prayed to God. And I think the ark taught him to follow God. And it taught him to follow God's instructions. God said, Noah, do this. And Noah obeyed it. God said, Noah, put that right there. And Noah obeyed it. The ark helped him to help other people. So here we have this ark that he's building. It's the first project that he takes on for God, and it causes him to pray. He has to communicate with God. The ark causes him to receive instructions from God. The ark causes him to help others, because on that ark, his whole family would be salvaged. And that ark was a place where he could spend time with God, and the ark gave him a place and a reason to be with God. So here, he's got this ark. He gets to be with God. He gets to talk with God. He gets to obey God. He gets to help other people. And I think God was as pleased as punch with that ark. God looked down and said, Noah, you built what I told you to build. It's a wonderful thing. You did the right thing. And that ark was a blessing to me. It was a blessing to you. It was a blessing to Noah. It was a blessing to his family. And it was a blessing to all history. And then the flood came. After the flood, the ark settled back down to the earth. And God said in Genesis 8:20 and on, he goes on and says, now build an altar to me. Why? Well, there had been a great victory, and anytime there's a great victory, we ought to turn to God, we ought to get on our faces and thank God for the great victory. The moment that ark was unloaded, they built this altar. Who did Noah build the altar for? God. Who did he build the ark for? God. So now he has built an altar for God. And that altar helped to keep Noah close to God. The altar helped him to communicate with God, because it was a place of prayer. The altar was a place where he received instructions from God. As he prayed, God would instruct Noah about how to live his life. And the altar was a place where he could help others. Sounds a lot like the ark, doesn't it? I mean, the ark helped him to communicate with God. The ark helped him to get instructions from God. The ark helped him to help others. The ark gave him a reason to be with God. And the altar kept him close to God. The altar caused him to communicate with God. The altar is a place where he received instructions from God. And the altar was a place where he learned to help other people. The altar gave him a place and a reason to be with God. And God said, build an ark, and he did. God said, build an altar, and he did. And then enters the vineyard. Noah built a vineyard. He built a vineyard for himself. The ark, he built for God. The altar, he built for God. The vineyard, he built for himself. He knew God wanted the ark. He knew God wanted the altar. But he had nothing but trouble after the vineyard, because it was what Noah wanted. Noah wanted to do what Noah wanted to do. And that vineyard kept him away from the altar. It's obvious, because he lost contact with God. Next thing you know, he's drunk in his tent, probably doing some awful nasty things in there. The vineyard kept him away from the altar. The ark helped. The vineyard hurt. The vineyard hurt his communication with God. That vineyard kept him away from the things that God was instructing him to do. Now remember, the ark and the altar, they were places of receiving instruction, but the vineyard, it distanced him from the instructions of God. The ark and the altar, they caused him to communicate with God and to pray to God, but the vineyard somehow stopped his communication with God. That vineyard, it hurt others. The ark and the altar, they helped others. The vineyard, it hurt others. The vineyard hurt Noah. The vineyard hurt Noah's sons. The vineyard hurt me. It hurt you. Anybody that's ever heard the story about what happened after that vineyard and the drunkenness and his son going in while he's naked and Noah waking up and realizing his son had done something unto him? Every one of us say, that's disgusting. It hurt everybody, because he built that vineyard. That vineyard hurt others. That vineyard caused him to stop meeting with God like he should. That vineyard hurt him. Noah was doing all right as long as he built what God wanted him to build, but when he decided to build what he wanted to build, he got himself into trouble. He was about to build something on his own. He chose to do it for himself. His choice was not wise. And folks, may I say, let's build nothing into our lives that will keep us away from God. Let's not allow anything to come between us and the Savior. There's a song, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." Don't let anything come between you and your God. I say to you tonight, don't build a vineyard that will keep you away from the altar. When he built that vineyard, it actually distanced him from that altar. You see, the altar is where we make our decisions for life. And don't you let anything ever keep you away from the altar of God. Don't make never make decisions in life that cause you to bow to man, but you always make decisions in life that cause you to bow to God. Make sure it is God that you give answer to. Never be afraid to come to the altar. Hey, is there anything between you and God that keeps you from using the altar? Have you built something in between you and God that keeps you from coming to the altar? Sometimes I wonder, and Brother Hart, turn this thing on for me. Sometimes I wonder if we have actually built some sort of a structure between you and the altar. Do you ever use it? Do you need it? Or is there something built? Have you built a fence of some sort? Is there a fence built across your row or across your pew that keeps you from using the altar? What is that fence? What's that fence made of? What has kept you from the altar of God? I'll guarantee you, he built that vineyard, and that vineyard distanced him between him and that altar. It put distance there. And he needed that altar. Why? The altar is where he makes spiritual decisions. The altar is where he met with God. The altar is where he learned to talk with God. And there are far too many of us who are too distant from the altar. Don't choose an occupation that ever keeps you from the altar. You know, there, and young people especially listen to this sermon tonight. You know something? There are some people, they choose a certain occupation, and they almost get too snooty for God. They almost get to the point where they're too much of a big shot to go down there to that old-fashioned fundamental Baptist church. They're almost too much of a big shot to be associated with some fundamental Baptist. They're not about to walk the aisle with all the scum of the earth sinners and bow down at the altar. Don't you ever get too big for your spiritual britches. Have you built a vineyard in your life? I just about imagine that if Noah were here, and the altar was over here. And so here's the altar. If Noah's over here, I'll almost guarantee you that the vineyard was in between them. He had to walk through that vineyard to be able to get to that altar. And somehow that vineyard made Noah not go or caused Noah not to want to go to the altar. Don't you ever build anything in your life that'll keep you away from God's altar, the place where we get on our faces before God in humility and get his advice and get his love and get his help. The vineyard kept him from doing the things that God instructed him to do. You see, God had some instruction. I need an usher. I always need an usher right there at that back door. If not, we're going to have interruptions, and I think I have enough interruptions now to drive me batty. And so just have someone right there at that back door. If somebody walks in, very politely say, "Here, sit down. Thank you." Now, the altar. The altar. Don't let anything keep you away from the altar. The altar is a part of your life, and it ought to be a part of your life. When was the last time you seen it? How do you make your decisions? You see, that vineyard kept him from communicating with God, but where did he communicate with God? At the altar. That vineyard kept him away from the things that God was instructing him to do. Well, he would get some instruction at the altar. That vineyard caused him to hurt others. Well, it is at the altar God tenderizes our hearts so we can be used of God. That vineyard maybe caused him to stop meeting with God. That vineyard hurt him. That vineyard hurt his kids. That vineyard probably hurt everybody. Everybody that was alive at that time knew what had happened, and it all would have never happened had he just stayed at the altar, had he not built that vineyard in between him and the altar. Noah did very well in life until he built something for himself. He did very well. Hey, don't become a big shot that doesn't need the altar. I was preaching at the National Revival Fires conference in Lexington, Kentucky this year. I think it was about April. And to be quite honest, a man who's built a big and a strong church was there. And he was one of the speakers there. And I think I was the second youngest man there. Everybody else was, you know, 50, 60, 70, and 80 years old. There were two of us that were in our 40s that were speaking. And I was the second preacher that night, and I closed out the night, and a man that, as much as a man can be to me, he was a hero of mine. I mean, he had a full head of gray hair, and he was sitting in the back while I was preaching, and I was back there, and I was a little nervous. Because when a fellow's 20 years your senior and kind of your hero, and you're up there preaching and you're closing out, I was a little nervous. My palms were a little bit sweaty. I wanted to do a good job. I wanted to please God. I preached my whole sermon, and I gave the invitation. And I was so pleased with what I saw. I watched that man be one of the first people up. I watched him walk all the way down, get on his face at that altar. He was more my hero when he got at the altar than he was before he came. You say, why? Because I watched a great man who still was at the altar in his life. I got done preaching, and I was trying to slip out, and as I walked toward the back, he walked over to me. He put his arm out, and he shook my hand, and he pulled me up close, and he gave me a hug. He said, buddy, you convicted me tonight. He said, you worked in my life tonight. It was amazing. He said, I needed that sermon. And again, I had cold chills up and down my spine at the humility of that great man who was not afraid to use the altar. Have you built something between you and the altar? Have you built a vineyard in your life that keeps you from using the altar? What have you built in your life that has diluted the need of the altar? What's stopping you from coming to the altar? Is it friends? Is it fear of man? Is it a hidden sin? Is it pride, or is it just where you sit? Don't you let anything keep you from that altar. Don't build a vineyard. Don't make it so you have to go through a jungle to get to that altar. Move everything out of the road, and you use the altar of God. Noah was doing fine when he built the ark. Noah was doing fine when he built the altar, but he built a vineyard, and that vineyard came between him and the altar. I worked at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana for many, many years. I sat and I watched and listened to Dr. Jack Hiles preach. I sat on the platform. I sat on the platform just like these men. I was far better looking and twice as intelligent as all these guys put together. But I sat on the platform. And as I sat there, he would preach. And I had the same job these men have. When we give the invitation, we would leave and we would go down. And I had an aisle that I worked. Mine was to the far right in the auditorium. And I would go down and I would work this aisle right here. And people would come forward to get saved. But I'm going to tell you something. As I sat there, and many times crowds of 6,000 and 7,000 people in one auditorium, I remember many, many times listening to the preacher preach. I was sitting there and I would hear him preach, and the altar call would be given, and it was my job to walk from here down to this aisle. But many, many a time I had to make a little pit stop before I went to my aisle. I had to get on my face before my God and say, oh God, boy, that sermon was for me and I needed that. I wanted to make sure there was never a vineyard between me and the altar. Well, sometimes we let things get between us and the altar. Don't you let that happen. It happened to Noah. Something happened. Hey, don't build a vineyard that keeps you away from the altar. Don't build a vineyard that keeps you away from communicating with God. Pray about what God wants you to do with your life. Hey, no matter how old you are, you still ought to be asking God what He wants with your life. You seem to think that's just for high school seniors, and it is. But I'll tell you something. If you're 30 or 40 or 50 years old, you ought to be asking God, what do you want with my life? How do you want me to live my life? It's not a matter of just young people are supposed to serve God with their life. Everybody's supposed to. You ever ask God what He wants with your life? You ever ask God how He wants you to serve Him? Anything you can't pray about, you shouldn't be doing. And don't you build a vineyard between you and the altar, because that's where you're going to communicate with God. High school, especially you juniors and seniors, you ought to be praying every day of your life, God, give me wisdom about the decisions that are on my horizon. I've got to make some decisions about my life. Hey, will your future occupation cause you to pray or to stray? You ought to be asking God, I don't want anything to keep me from communicating with you. Young people, you ought to pray and ask God who you're supposed to marry. She's good looking. Good looking with a frying pan gets ugly real quick when that frying pan lands upside your head, son. You ought to marry the person that is God's will, not your will. God's will, not your will. You're not going to find God's will when you build a vineyard between you and the altar. I'll tell you what, find somebody that uses the altar. They might make a good marriage companion. But don't let anything stop you from getting to that altar. Don't build a vineyard between the altar. Don't build a vineyard that comes between you and communicating with God. Ask God what college you should go to. Ask God what friends you should have. Ask God what music you should listen to. Ask God what clothes you should wear. Ask God about everything. Pray to God about everything. But when he built that vineyard, it came between him and his communication with God. Because somehow there was communication breakdown because that old vineyard, the next thing you know, he's drunk. Next thing you know, he's living wickedly. He built the ark, everything was fine. He built the altar, everything was fine. Then he built a vineyard. And somehow it must have wooded. It must have become a hazard. It must have become some sort of a fence or something that kept him from getting to where he needed to go. Don't build a vineyard that will keep you from communicating with God. Don't build a vineyard that will keep you from the altar. Don't build a vineyard that keeps you from God's instructions. When he built the ark, that ark helped him communicate with God. He had to build an ark. When he built the altar, God told him how to build the altar. He had some communication going on there. But I'll tell you, somehow that vineyard, he stopped communicating with God. He did what he wanted. You know, God's instruction comes from God's word. Stay in your Bible. Stay in your Bible and get instruction from God in your Bible. Don't build a vineyard that'll keep you from the word of God. Nothing. Don't let anything come in between you and the word of God. Not a thing. Stay in your Bible. Young people, if there's not somebody standing over you in school telling you you ought to read your Bible, you ought to be reading it without being told. Don't you build a vineyard between you and God. Carry your Bible to school. Carry your Bible to work. Carry your Bible everywhere you go. And if you have to go anywhere where you can't carry your Bible, I just stop going there. Oh, we like to tell the young people that go to the public school, take your Bible with you. There's some of you that live in a more wicked society. It's called a secular workforce. You got to take your Bible and set it on your desk. Take your Bible in there and let everybody see that word of God. And you say, well, I would be afraid. What have you done? Build a vineyard? Did you build a vineyard between you and your Bible? Is it to the point where you don't want anybody to see that Bible? You like the vineyard. It masks you being at work. It masks your Christianity, that vineyard. You can kind of hide behind it so people don't see you. I don't know what happened to Noah, but I can tell you this. He was fine when he built the ark. He was fine when he built the altar. He built the vineyard. He stopped communicating with God, and as a result of it, he ended up drunk and probably committing a homosexual act. You say, well, I would never. You'll do anything that anybody else will do if you don't stay close to God. Anybody is capable of anything. And your only chance is that you stay close to God, stay at the altar, and communicate with him on a regular basis. Don't build a vineyard that keeps you from God's instructions. Carry your Bible. Will your future include the word of God? Do you ever turn to the word of God? Some of you businessmen. Do you ever turn to the word of God to make any decisions at work? Or do you have your secular university training? You don't need God. You would never go to the word of God to get instruction. You're really impressed with yourself, aren't you? You need God. Anything that keeps you from the Bible, stay away from it. Anything that keeps you from the Bible, stay away from it. Anything that keeps you from prayer, stay away from it. Anything that keeps you from the altar, you stay away from it. You say, well, I just don't feel like the Bible is modern enough. If you want this modern society, you can have it and all the diseases that go along with it. Oh, the Bible will protect you. It'll keep you clean. I say, don't build a vineyard that will keep you from the altar. I say, don't build a vineyard that will keep you from prayer to God. Don't build a vineyard that keeps you away from God's instruction book. And don't build a vineyard that keeps you away from God's house. The answer for America is not in the White House. The answer for America is in the church house. I thank God we've got a relatively conservative president. But I'll tell you something. Mr. Bush will not save America. Say, what'll save America? That old black book right there. churches like this that preach the gospel, that keep people out of hell. That's what will save America. That's what will save a country. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that a political system will save. Usually it is a political system that got us in the mess we're in, and it is. It is. It was the political religious people that crucified Jesus Christ. Build your life around the church. There are some of you, you're too busy in the world. You have built a vineyard between you and the church. The church is here, and you're here, and many of you, you build a vineyard. You're so busy in the world. You're so caught up in all your secular social events, all your secular sports. You're so caught up, there's a vineyard between you and the church. It's time for some of you to tear the vineyard down and say, I'm building my family right here by the church. The church is going to be our activity. The church is going to be our friend. The church is going to be my social event. Build your life around the church. Hey, and young people, just because mom and dad have that attitude, I realize that doesn't mean you do. I worry. I told the Young Fundamentalist program earlier, I said, just because mom and dad love God, that doesn't mean you do. I worry to death about young people. And you can usually figure out what they're made of about 2 months after graduation from the Christian school. 2 months after graduation, bang, they're gone. They're out in the world. In other words, the only reason they were there is because mom and dad made them to go. They didn't learn to love God for themselves and walk with God for themselves and pray for themselves. They didn't learn to believe the Bible for themselves. Young people, wake up. You better make sure you love God for yourself. You better make sure you pray for yourself and read the Bible for yourself, or you'll be like a lot of the other Christian school graduates. They go to school. They're forced to do right. The minute they graduate, they're out living like animals, and you can't get them to church. You better not build a vineyard between you and the church. You make sure you get you a relationship with God. Church attendance will keep you safe. Something happened. Noah built that ark. He was fine. Noah built that altar. He was fine. And then Noah launched out to do his own thing. He built a vineyard. He ended up drunk. He ended up away from the altar. He ended up away from prayer. He ended up away from God. He ended up with a mess. He ended up committing a wicked act with his child. Hey, don't build a vineyard that keeps you away from helping others. You see, when he built the ark, that helped other people. When he built the altar, that helped other people. That vineyard caused him to hurt people. What have you built into your life that's going to cause you to hurt people? What's in your testimony right now that is like a vineyard that's hurting other people's opinion of Jesus Christ? What do you do that you should not do? You ought to serve others, and that's one reason why you need the church. Church is a good place where you can learn to serve others. You see, others are right here. It's good, it's positive, and you're over here. But there are some of us, we have built a vineyard. We build a vineyard, and that is coming between us and helping other people. Well, I want to do what I want to do. We ought to get our eyes off ourselves and get our eyes on somebody else. You ought to clean up your life, if not for your sake, but for somebody else's sake. The ark, it saved lives. The altar, it saved souls. The vineyard, it caused drunkenness and incest. He should have never built anything that would keep him away from God. He should have never built what he wanted to build. He should have built into his life what God wanted built there. The vineyard hurt Noah. You know, to those of you that are unmarried, may I recommend something? If I were you, I would be real careful who I marry. Because I've watched marriage partners keep. They become a vineyard. They keep, there's no doubt in my mind, there's some lady in this building right now that would love to give her life to God and serve God and just be at the church all the time, but her husband won't let her. He's become a vineyard. There are men here tonight that would like to serve God, but their wife, she's just not going to have it. She holds him back. What's happened? She's a vineyard. You better find somebody and marry somebody that doesn't have a vineyard in their life already. You find somebody that doesn't have a vineyard keeping them from serving God. You find somebody that's just building their family around the church. And if not, one of these days you'll look back and you'll remember a sermon like this, say, you know, Brother Owens was right. He was right. I should have listened. That means you take your time and you make sure they love God and they're committed to God and they don't have a vineyard built in their life already. You see, who you marry, young man, is not only going to be your wife, it's going to be the mother of your children. Who you marry, young lady, he's not only going to be your husband, He's going to be the father of your children. You better make sure you're marrying the right kind of person. We ought to make sure that nothing keeps us from helping others. We ought to want to help others, and we ought to keep that commitment. What have you built in your life? You know there are actually things that are not bad you can build into your life that keeps you from helping others. Like what? You. Are you the vineyard that keeps you from serving others? You just take care of you. You spend all your time taking care of your house, your furniture, and your yard, and your things. Because you're most important to you. Well, may I say there are some other people out there in the world that don't have what you have. And you are your own vineyard. You're what's come between you and God. You're more interested in taking care of old number one, making sure everything that you have is the way you want it, while there are people dying and going to hell and you don't even care. No, you will not convince me that you're a committed Christian if you don't ever tell anybody about Jesus Christ. If you never tell anybody about Jesus Christ, you will not convince, you're not a good Christian. You're not. You can't be. You mean to tell me you think you're a good Christian when people are dying and going to hell all around you and you won't mention one word? Well, I've already paid my dues. Nobody's paid enough dues to let people die and go to hell around them and to sit back and say, well, I've done all I need to do. The devil sold you a wooden nickel. You may be your own vineyard. And it is not necessarily that you're doing something wicked. You're just doing something other than helping others. And we ought to care about other people. And so don't you build a vineyard that keeps you away from helping others. Make sure you help people with your life. That's why God saved you. You know, if God would have wanted to, folks, He could have saved us. And the minute He did, He could have taken us on to heaven. But He didn't. He saved us, and then He left us here. Why? Because He would have expected you not to be stingy, and He would have thought that since He saved your sin-cursed soul so He can spend all eternity, and He did it all for free, that you wouldn't have been stingy and self-centered and conceited and more concerned about your will than His. And He thought that you'd tear everything down between you and Him. You'd run over here and you'd say, I want the altar. I want to pray. I want the church. I want to help others. But we spend our time over here hiding behind our vineyard, letting things come between us and the one that saved us. And Noah did fine when he built the ark. Why? It was for others. He prayed. He communicated with God. He got instructions from God. It was all good. When he built the altar, it was great. The altar helped others. He communicated with God. He got instructions from God. Then he built a vineyard for himself and took care of old number one. The next thing you know, he's drunk, having sex with one of his own kids. I wonder how he got in that mess. He built him a vineyard that came between him and God. I don't know what has come between you and God. I don't know what it is. But some of you ought to burn your vineyard down. Someone here has built something between you and God. I don't know what it is. I have no idea. Somebody hurt you? Maybe that's it. We've all got 101 excuses. I wish we'd get a whole bunch of people just to torch their vineyards, walk from over here straight through the rubble of all the ashes of a vineyard that kept you from God, and get yourself right over here and say, I'm here and I'm staying here now. An ark, an altar, or a vineyard. Which have you built in your life? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.